Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze. Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Skyblaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. I'm sort of back to my normal slot. I am an hour late because I've been busy since yesterday, and I have kind of destroyed my voice a bit. So I'm going to soldier on anyway. Because people keep pestering me to go out and be social. The swines. But today we're going to look at odd and unreleased Dreamcast hardware, following on from the last show where we looked at the Sega Saturn 2 and some other bits and pieces surrounding that. So the first up for this list is the Dreamcast DVD player. Now this appears to have been an accessory rather than a standalone item which allows you to play DVDs. Sega had stated throughout the Dreamcast lifetime that they were planning on having this functionality present within the console. But apart from an image of a separate DVD player unit, there was no more information provided about the device. Sega instead decided to use GD-ROMs for the Dreamcast, partially in an attempt to prevent piracy, which backfired pretty spectacularly. There is some speculation that the DVD unit that was shown is no more than a shell, which doesn't actually contain any working parts, but I've not been able to confirm this for myself, as the DVD player only appeared to have been displayed once, apparently at some kind of trade show. We could have had DVD player functionality for the Dreamcast, which is one of the things that kind of boosted the popularity of the PlayStation 2. So it would have been nice if that had existed for us. And Electro Boogaloo has helpfully just posted a picture of the aforementioned Dreamcast DVD player. It does look very much like a DVD player of that kind of era. Sleek and shiny and silvery. But it was suggested that this would have connected to the Dreamcast somehow, although I don't know how. So, let's have some music then. So, from Metropolis Street Racer, we've got You Can Love Me. And then from our friends over at OC Remix, we've got Happy Bivac and Jet Grind Radio Late Night Sneakin'. So, I hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break.
I'm The best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favorites. This is RadioSega.net.
And that was Jet Grind Radio Late Night Sneaking from our friends over at OC Remix. And before that we had Metropolis Street Racer, You Can Love Me. Now, one other device which tried to get you playing your DVDs on a Sega console was the Dreamcast Pace. Now, at the time this was being developed, Dreamcast was having a bit of a problem against the PlayStation 2, because the PlayStation 2 had a bit more of a wide functionality, considering it could play DVDs. Nearing the end of its time, however, Sega signed a deal with a British company called Pace, who developed set-top boxes which let you access cable and satellite TV, as well as some limited online functions. The goal was to produce a console which not only allowed you to play DVDs, which the original Dreamcast could not, but allowed you to store games you could download onto a 40GB internal hard drive, which Sony didn't do at all until the PlayStation 3. Now, why didn't this get released to market? Well, remember when I said that this deal was signed at the end of the Dreamcast life? Well, that's pretty much why. Not so long after the deal was made, Sega announced that they had backed out of the console market and were concentrating on releasing games on rival consoles instead, and become their third-party developer. It's kind of a shame, as it would have been another of those things to add to the Sega did it first list. Sadly, we had to wait until the PS3 and Xbox 360 before we got this kind of technology. That is a bit of a shame. But I don't know if that would have been enough to revive the Dreamcast, considering how badly it was doing by that point. Maybe it could have made a difference. What do you guys think? Do you think having an internal hard drive and downloadable games and DVD playing functionality would have helped the Dreamcast? Maybe it would. But part of the problem with the Dreamcast reception was that outside of Japan and Korea, a lot of places didn't really have very good internet access. Certainly the UK at that point, we were mostly still on dial-up. So it was very expensive for anywhere that didn't have a comprehensive internet coverage. Which was most places. Sad. Electrical is saying, if you were in Japan, you could have got a PS2 DVR machine. That's pretty interesting. And II saying that if the Dreamcast had the sequel console with PACE that had all this functionality, they would have brought it and not bought a PS2. That's interesting. Doan's saying, I don't know how the sales industry works, but I don't think it would affect my decision to buy it, especially if it boosted the price. That is a very good point. I mean, adding all this functionality surely would have affected how much the thing cost. Unfortunately, unless somebody develops, dimensional technology so it could jump to a dimension where it was produced, we're never going to find out. So let's have some more music. So since we're talking about online functionality, let's have something from Fantasy Star Online, Mother Earth of Dishonesty. And then after that, from Echo Defender of the Future, the main theme. So enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break.
Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.
we are back. And that was Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future, the main theme. And before that, from Phantasy Star Online, Mother Earth of Dishonesty. Somebody was asking, the Electric Boogaloo was asking about the reason why I got a PS2, or the topic came up in the chat. And I got a PS2 for one reason, and that's because my original grey PlayStation was stolen when the house I was living in got burgled. All my games and all my memory cards were also stolen, which included my completed saves for Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy VII. I was not best pleased. But the insurance company, because they just saw PlayStation written on the sheet when it was reported, gave me the money for a... They basically gave me a voucher. I had to go to, like, Dixon's or Curry's or something. I can't remember where it was. But they gave me enough money to buy a PlayStation 2. They also gave me money because inexplicably a pair of like half-knackered PC speakers were stolen. And they gave me money for a sound system. So that was nice. And yeah, I did manage to recover most of the games that were stolen. The only one that I didn't was... what's it called? The role-playing game with the dragons that was on the PlayStation. And there was a kid who transforms into a dragon periodically. Breath of Fire. Breath of Fire 3. I haven't managed to get that back. Because I've not seen a copy that has been anything less than overpriced. Okay. So, apparently some people are listening. Confusingly enough, the website Hidden Palace is also having a stream tonight. Where they're talking about some, I think it's the beta things from some of the Sonic games. So, apparently they've just discovered that the drop dash was originally in Sonic 3. So that's pretty interesting. Doan said they were going to say Breath of Fire. Yeah, I got there eventually. Breath of Fire 3 is good. When my PlayStation was stolen, I was only halfway through the playthrough, so I never actually got to finish the game. I should go back and do that at some point if I can find a copy of it. Right. I should actually talk about the thing I'm supposed to be here to talk about instead of PlayStation stuff. So, when a lot of us go out for whatever reason, errands, work, public transport, many of us like to listen to music while we're doing so. These days a lot of people will use their phone to listen to music, either using a streaming service like Spotify or loading stuff onto a memory card. I'm old and I like my MP3 player. And there was a boom in MP3 players in the early 2000s. Sega were apparently aware of this and had plans to develop their own MP3 player. But this wasn't just any MP3 player. This was a VMU MP3 player. There's a bit of conflicting information on how this device would have actually worked. One image I've seen makes it look like a longer silver VMU with the D-pad and two function buttons, and the headphones would then attach to the top of the device. And it's supposed to still be able to slot into the controller, but there's no obvious connection for it to be able to do this. So I wonder if there was like a cap or an adapter or something that you would have to use, or if this was just a very early prototype. The other version showcased is a video from the Tokyo Game Show in 2000, where the device connects to the console via a controller cable. Songs would then be downloaded over the internet and stored on the VMU as MP3's 64 MB internal storage, which could hold about 2 to 3 albums worth of music, which was about the average you could expect from most MP3 players that were out in the market at the time. The video also appears to show the VMU having a backlit screen, which is interesting. And this would also appear to that it could have been used as a typical VMU to store your saves. However, this would limit its use as an MP3 player, because obviously you wouldn't have standard storage. Sadly, as with the rest of the stuff, most of the other stuff I'll be covering on today's show, this was never released, and I can't find out why. Although there's a chance that since this was being developed, there were something about a relationship between Sega and MP3.com which would have made use of the device. It's possible that this relationship fell through and Sega cancelled the development due to that. One of the reasons that this is such a big shame to me is because I want one! You have no idea how tempted I am to just like find, because VMUs are not that expensive if you find on eBay. I really want to find one and just like mod it so it will be a VMU and an MP3 player somehow. My dad's an electronics engineer, I'm sure we could figure out a way to do it. If I can pin him down long enough. But yeah, I want one of these. I want one of these quite badly. Because I am a nerd. But yeah, I still have my MP3 player. I still have a Sony MP3 player, actually, that's been around for about 10 years and is fine. I need a couple of factory resets, but that's all. Anyway. Eclipse is saying the problem with microSD cards is that they are quite cheap and they end up failing over time with minimal usage. Meanwhile, my 4GB MP3 player still works and the data is not corrupted. The only reason I don't use it is because the battery barely holds a charge and I don't think it's replaceable. Yes, that is a problem. You do have some SD cards, the particularly cheap ones that you get like on eBay and stuff. They can corrupt, or they can like not format, or various other problems. Okay. So let's have some more music then, since I've babbled quite a bit. And I'm probably going to overrun today because I've got quite a lot to get through. But Gavi's not playing because I'm in his slot, so he's going to be on tomorrow, which I'll cover in a bit. So, a couple of requests that were sent through to me. This was requested by Electric Boogaloo, and this is 18-wheeler American Pro Trucker. Why they requested this, I'm not entirely sure, but hey-ho. Parking 34. And then after that, they're requested by Nicholas Aman. We've got House of the Dead 2, First Chapter, A Prelude. So enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. We'll be right back. are back, and I am writing a tweet, so bear with me a moment. As I'm writing a tweet about the that VMU MP3 player, which I want. I'm going to find like a whole bunch of VMUs on eBay and just buy a bucket load of them. And mod them. All of them. Because I'm a nerd. Okay. So, we had just then, House of the Dead 2, First Chapter, A Prelude, which was requested by Nicholas Haman. And then we had 18-wheeler American Pro Trucker before that, Parking 34. So, from one accessory to another, we have the Dreamcast Swatch Access. You're probably familiar with Swatch wristwatches. This was another planned peripheral that was showcased at the same time as the VMU MP3 player. In fact, the picture that I just put up on Twitter and Electric Boogaloo put in the chat earlier, you can see it, the Swatch wristwatch, on the left-hand side next to the MP3 player. This device was developed to interact with the Swatch Access, a series of Swatch wristwatches, which contain data chips for one or two functions. I'm just going to loop my music. One would allow you to access various ski resorts, and the other allow you to pay for all sorts of things such as drinks, public transport, and tickets to things such as museums and cinemas. Kind of similar to the smart chip things that you get in, like you can do Apple Pay and things on your phone now, or use things like Oyster cards. Similar sort of idea. The Dreamcast Swatch Access would slot into the VMU slot of your controller and look like you added a large disc to the top of your controller, which you might be tempted to rest your drink on. I don't recommend it. This used RFID technology to interact with the Swatch watches to allow data to be written to and from the watch while using the Dreamcast internet capabilities. One planned use for this was purchasing cinema tickets, and Sega would have built special machines in cinemas which would allow you to use the watch as your ticket. This was marketed and costing between 15 and 20,000 yen, which was about £85 to £115 at the time. Sadly, as the rest of the items that we discussed today, this was cancelled and I do not know why. This is not something that many other console makers have kind of glommed onto, although you could kind of consider it a very early version of the modern smartwatch. Although I'm not really sure about those special kiosks in cinemas that let you use your watch as a ticket. I wonder if they cancelled it because it was too easy to manipulate, or it was too expensive to make. But we do not know. So, let's have some more music there. Yeah, I was trying to decide what music I was gonna play earlier. I just turned around and looked at my Dreamcast collection and was like, Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver, that's a great game. Let's have some music from that. So we're gonna do that. And then a OC remix by Dark Sword of Grandia 2. A Deus Ex Harper. So, hope you enjoy those, and I will be back after the music break with some more information. Thank you. And we are back. And that was from Legacy of Kain's Soul Reaver, City. And before that, we had from Grandia 2, A Deus Ex Harper by Darksword from our friends over at OC Remix. I've got a quite nice crossfade for that one, actually. Radio DJ has been doing pretty well. Like, once an episode, I get a really nice fade through. It seems to be. It was that one this time. So, good Radio DJ. Clearly you swapped them around for a reason, because they were supposed to be the other way around. So, lastly, we have the Dreamcast Zip Drive. One thing a lot of people were clamouring for on when using the Dreamcast was more storage space, because the VMU couldn't hold that much. So, a joint development was made between Sega and iOmega, the people behind the Zip Drive. These devices would fit under the Dreamcast and connect in place of the modem. These devices would also allow you to use a USB port, which was likely added to allow introduction of all sorts of other peripherals. So you kind of daisy chain from the Zip Disk, other peripherals could have then plugged into a USB port. The Zip Disks would be 100 megabytes in size and specially formatted to work with the Dreamcast. As such, others used on the PCs would not be cross-compatible, although it has been suggested this would have been solved by special software which had been released for the PC. These discs allow you to store updates to games as well as additions such as new maps for games like Quake. Development on the Dreamcast Zip Drive was close to completion, however the device was cancelled, likely due to the cost of manufacture, and the fact that the Zip Disk as a storage format was in decline by mid-1999, mostly because the idea of using a floppy disk was also dying a death. Electro Boogaloo's helpfully posted a picture of the Dreamcast Zip Drive, with a bright orange Dreamcast specially formatted Zip Disk. For those that don't remember Zip Drives, they were a way to get more storage space out of floppy drives, basically. Floppy disks. Because they use a different type of compression. Worth looking up, I think LGR, Laser Game Reviews, has done some information about Zip Drives and the various different versions of them that existed. Because there were multiple different variations, although iOmega did the most popular version. So yeah, that would have been pretty interesting, especially the addition of the USB port, which would have then allowed other peripherals to be added on. Although just like adding in a USB attachment probably would have been slightly more useful. Yeah, Electro Boogaloo's put up a link to the LGR Oddware, the iOmega Zip Drive Experience, which goes into detail about exactly how these things worked. It's LGR's one of my favourite YouTubers, very, very informative. Okay, let's have some more music then. So from Sonic Adventure 2, because I can't get through a Dreamcast episode without doing something from Sonic Adventure, we've got Supporting Me. And then after that, from the Skies of Arcadia remix album, Glacial Spoon's Nervousness is Just Bravery Disguised. So enjoy those, and I will speak to you guys again after the music break, where I'll be going into the Chiptune Corner. Speak to you then.
The best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favorites. This is RadioSega.net. Sega.
And that was from Glacial Spoon. Nervousness is Just Bravery Disguised, from the Skies of Arcadia remix album over at OC Remix. And before that, Sonic Adventure 2 Supporting Me. So now we're into Chiptune Corner. Last week I mentioned the C64 Audio Project, which has produced a number of albums available for download. And one of the albums that they've made available is a album called Zap Sonic Sizzlers, which is named after the popular magazine for the Commodore 64, Zap 64. They were known for... the magazine was known for giving away CDs on its front cover, which would have music on them, which you could play. Quite often, things but done by Rob Hubbard, or I think Chris Hulsbeck was involved in that for a while as well. But Zapsonic Sizzlers, as far as I know, this particular album was only made available to people who backed the 8-Bit Symphony Kickstarter campaign, which me and Grey 4 did. So you get to enjoy this, which is Thing on a Spring. So enjoy Thing on a Spring. Let me know what you think of it, and I will be back after the break to close up. So enjoy. Back. And that was Thing on a Spring from Zap 64 Sonic Sizzlers. So I hope you enjoyed that. thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. Everybody in the chat. So we've had Nicholas Aman, Greyfall, Green Viper, who I'm not sure is listening because he might be watching the other Hidden Palace live stream. Electroboogaloo, I think II was here earlier. Yeah, it was. NB4Y, I think, is a new person who's joined us recently, so welcome. Doan, who else have we had? I think that's most of the people who have been commenting today. But yeah, thanks to everybody who's been listening today. People in the Discord chat, people who are just lurking, and everybody else. I'm not entirely sure what I'll be covering next week, although it might be about Sega's development kits, although I'm not entirely certain. So, as usual, suggestions can be sent to me via Discord. You'll find me on the Radio Sega Discord, where I'm listed as Skyblaze, and you can just send me a DM that way. You can find me on Twitter, where I am at Blazing Skies, or you can contact me through the Radio Sega Twitter or Facebook groups. Thanks to everybody who has been listening, as I've said. I've been Skyblaze, and this has been the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. I've got one last track to go out on, so from Daytona, USA 2001. It's the Let's Go Away Mirror version. Thanks very much. Good night, and take care. Daytona, let's go away.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.